Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday. Excited for our next guest, the one and only John McClain down in Houston. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Still sorting through everybody's draft. I like what the Titans were going to do, what the Titans did, and I thought they had by far the best draft in the AFC South.
How do you think the Texans did?
I gave the Texans a B-. I love their first two picks. If I had been advocating something since the end of the season and I didn't like what they did, then, boy, I should be run out of this business. Because I said if they don't do whatever it takes to build C.J. Stroud a good running game instead of this mediocre slop they put on the field last year, they're doing him a disservice and everybody should be fired. So they traded for running back David Montgomery for a player that wouldn't have made the team in a fourth-round pick. And he's been a touchdown machine the last 3 years at Detroit. He had 33 touchdowns in the last 3 years. Texans had 34. He had 8 last year. Texans had 9. So then they had to build the interior of the line. That Keelan Rutledge is just what they wanted from Georgia Tech. Did not give up a sack this past season, but he is the kind of guy who hits people that they blow snot bubbles. He's mean. He makes blocks downfield. They traded up to get him into the two spots. And I think if you got somebody you want and you got to give up a pick and you got talent everywhere anyway, why not? I thought that was a great pick. And then to get Cade McDonald, the best defensive tackle in the draft in the second round, which they also traded up because they had the capital to do it. I thought those two guys, I'm not saying, I think Rutledge will start at center, even though he played guard at Georgia Tech. And I think McDonald will be part of the defensive line rotation. He's just 21. He'll be a big contributor. Some point he'll be starting, but they're pretty talented up front, including at tackle. And then they had a reach that I didn't count the Houston. I said Texans. I thought it was the biggest reach I've seen them have in all their drafts, and that was a tight end named Marlon Klein, a German kid, played soccer, family moved to Georgia because he was good at football, got a scholarship to Michigan. He was mainly a backup till this season. They didn't need to take him in the second round. He would have been there in the fifth, but they passed up some other tight ends, and a backup tight end, a second tight end, was what they needed behind Dalton Schultz. So that's the one that I was negative about. And a couple others, but overall, I thought they did well considering their picking low and what they needed.
Joe can probably speak more on this, but Keelan Rutledge played a couple of years at MTSU. We're big fans of him. I think that's a good pick.
Again, it's so funny. He reminds, I love the way he watched the draft with about 8 family members and friends sitting on a chair that looked like it was going to collapse on him anytime. and he knew because they had told him what they needed, that he's going to come in here, probably play center because they need a better center. And he had to be bleeped out when he was talking to D'Amico Ryans. And then at the end, he said, let's go bury some people in the dirt. And who wouldn't like a guy like that? He kind of reminded me of Ben Jones when Ben Jones came to the Texans in 12, I think. And Ben, you know, it's like he came from Georgia, he got off the turnip truck and barefooted and comes into the big city, and all of a sudden he won everybody over immediately, started for 4 years, won at guard, 3 for center, and then the Titans stole him and he played 6 more years. And you know, Pat Coogan reminds me of that too when I look at him, the 6th round pick. And one of the things you want with linemen today, because they need physicality in the off season more than any area, and they don't get it. Because you guys know, can't put on pads. They play patty cake all the time in the off season. It's about the mental part. And so you need guys that come in here like Coogan, Carmona, those guys that started multiple years at different positions, and they're smart, they're disciplined, they're experienced, they work their asses off, and they're great team guys. You want guys like Rutledge and Coogan and Carmona on your team if you have needs in that area.
Well, you know, go back to Rutledge for a second, John. I mean, we talk about the portal and all the bad things that are happening there, but at the core, there are good things that happen. He was able to use what he did at Middle Tennessee State to springboard to Georgia Tech, to springboard now to the Texans, and who knows, had the opportunity not been there, would he have gone the first round? So there's a lot of good things that happen because of the portal, and you got one in Texas with Rutledge because he's damn good and he just wants to play football.
And that's what they're looking for. And when you were – they weren't terrible in the offensive line. I mean, they won 12 games, but and they did not have Joe Mixon, their leading rusher. But they still – when they got to the five, they were having to run gadget plays because they couldn't run the ball in the end zone. Everything they were having to throw, and the defense knew it. And now with Montgomery, he's a 230-pounder, and he's been a touchdown machine inside the five. And guys like Rutledge, who came in here, who people are just so fired up after listening to him talk and listening to him in the news conference, because you're right, Joe, he's ready to go to work yesterday.
Yeah, he is. John, our question of the day is, to our audience, were you surprised Diego Pavia did not get drafted? And, of course, there's a lot that say, yeah, we're not surprised at all. But when you look at him, John, I mean, he's the first Heisman finalist since 2014 to not get drafted. Is it the off-the-field issues, John? And you know all these general managers. Is it the off-the-field issues like, yeah, we're good, we're not going to waste a draft choice on that?
Oh, I'm not surprised he didn't get drafted. I'm surprised he didn't get signed as a free agent, undrafted free agent. Because, you know, he measured 5'9", but you guys know he's a great leader. I thought the Titans might sign him to keep him there. It would have been such a popular pick. You know, why not? Why don't they have him out there on their doing a tryout at their mini camp? It just seemed like such a natural thing. I think he did some things wrong that would be overlooked if he was 6'1". And I think some of it was the thing about the Heisman when he was out partying, what he said about Mendoza. I think Johnny, you know, talking about Johnny Manziel, what was his role with Manziel? Was he advising him or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, yep. Something. Yep. They became buddies.
That's the last guy you want advising you unless you're lining up parties. And there was some other things like that. But, you know, he's the ultimate, I'll show you. So I hope it works out. I hope he gets a job. What he ought to do is go in that other league and show them. And then come in, show everybody, you know, he's not going to be doing any stupid things. And he's older, so he should be more mature. I don't think the confidence thing, bragging, anything like that bothers him. I think it's the size, and I think it's just so much put together, and I'm just disappointed the Titans didn't get. I would love to see the Texans sign him just because he's such a great story.
Well, when you say the other league, are you talking about the UFL or could yeah. or Canada?
No, I'm talking about the UFL, but you know what, Canada, where the fields are wider and you got a lot more room to run as much as he runs and you don't have great tackling and the way he breaks tackles and stuff, that might be even better, but more guys are getting signed to the NFL from the UFL than they are the CFL. So I think I would go that route.
We will have more with John McClain coming up next. Chasing Big Joe on this Monday, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Continuing our conversation with John McClain down in Houston. John, what can you tell us about Jackie Marshall, the defensive tackle out of Baylor that the Titans took?
Well, first of all, let me tell you about Anthony Hill.
Okay.
Anthony Hill is going to be a hell of a player. He was a hell of a player at Texas. After the 24th season, everybody thought sure he was the number one pick, and they changed coaches on that side of the ball, and he's still good. He just didn't become a number one pick. He's the kind of player Robert Saleh is going to salivate over. And he's much more advanced than Keldrick Falk, and getting Falk adding to the defensive line is good. But I think Hill's going to start right away, and people are going to love him. And as far as Jackie Marshall, he's better as a defensive tackle, not as an end. He was a better player in 24 when Baylor was real good and had some players we thought were going to be drafted. And this year, like all Baylor players, he wasn't as good. The team was a humongous disappointment. Certainly wasn't his fault. He ended up being drafted before any of the others. But I felt bad for him having to play on such a bad team. And I'm glad he ended up with the Titans because I think getting coached by the guys they have there will be really good for him. And I think Sala will I'm not sure how he's going to contribute being a sixth-round pick. You know, at worst, he'd be on the practice squad. At best, he'd be depth for now. But I think he's going to get some really good coaching there.
I saw a tweet, and I don't know the legitimacy of this, but it kind of got me thinking of that, you know, there could be some GMs and people across the league that would petition the NFL to shorten the draft to six rounds because of NIL and all of that. And one GM was quoted and saying, we're going to draft a backup tight end that played, you know, basically five games in 7 years with our seventh round pick. So, again, I don't know the legitimacy of that report, but I do kind of understand how it's changed because of NIL. Could you see the NFL maybe looking at that and adjusting the draft in years to come?
I'm considering it used to be 32 rounds, 26, 22, 20. Sure, they could adjust it again. The last year was eight is when the Oilers drafted safety Blaine Bishop, who mm-hmm. I was about to write on the final cut. He was the longest of the long shot, undersized. And I happened to play golf at a place where I saw the secondary coach. And I said, can I run some things by you on some players that I'm writing about? And I told him what I was writing about the kid from Ball State. And he goes, whoa, 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 whoa. Don't write that. I said, why? He said, that kid's going to make the team. That kid's going to make the team. He's got a chance to be good. I said, that bow-legged kid from Ball State? He said, yep. And he was right. And I see people, there's some things that really bother me. I see people ripping the Cardinals for taking Love because he was, Marty Ozenfort, who worked for the Titans and two times for the Texans, took the best athlete available, maybe the best player in the draft. And the guy can help him. He can score touchdowns. And people are like, well, they should have built their offensive line. There's no offensive lineman worth taking there. And they're going to pay him $13 million a year. That's more than all but three. So what? If the guy produces, what does it matter? You get your quarterback next year. People just got to find something to complain about. And I just thought that was terrible. But the Texans and the Jaguars and the Colts should send thank you notes to Monty Ozenfort for taking him, not giving Mike Bagonzi. We'll never know what Bagonzi would have done. But I think most of us, we all wanted Love. I think they would have taken Love. But Tate's a good weapon, but Love would have been too. So this thing about wiping out the bottom, if you know what you're doing, and you go, there were 175 Hall of Famers not drafted in the first round. Wow. And so many of them were drafted low. If you're a staff that can evaluate and then you can have some stability with your coaching staff and your systems and develop them on the practice squad, you can find them. I'd be more worried about, instead of the sixth round and seventh round, I'd be more worried about all the players staying in school that are getting $6-8 million. That's the ones I would be worried about.
Absolutely. John, every year during the draft, something happens like, what? Head scratcher? What's going on? And the Rams selection of Ty Simpson is that, you know, they were so close, and now you got a receiver, Nacua, who's having a really rough offseason, and you were so close to winning a Super Bowl. I think a lot of people are like, why? And I get, you sit him for 2 years, develop, I get all that. But the Rams, John, are so close to getting back to the Super Bowl that having like a drafting receiver there would have been perfect. And a lot of people like they can understand why Ty Simpson went right there.
It's a head scratcher to me because they're working on a contract extension with Stafford, who's been durable and is throwing the ball as well as ever. And quarterbacks are playing into their early 40s, and if that's the case, you might get 1 year out of him. Are you going to pick up a fifth-year option and no telling what it's going to cost of a guy who hadn't played for 3 years? And there's a good chance that's going to happen unless Matthew Stafford has told Sean McVay, and people are acting like that McVay didn't make the pick because he was not jumping up and down like they thought he would on TV. But maybe Stafford has told him, look, I'll play two more years and that's it. My plan is to retire when I hit 40. So then it might not be so bad, but I'm with you. They got to win now. They need another weapon. They got some young defensive linemen going to cost a lot of money. They could have gotten a defensive lineman there. So it's very strange, but they've been so good. It's hard to be critical of them, but I was stunned when they took him.
Were you stunned that the Chiefs took two defensive players instead of kind of trying to shore up the little offense right there? I mean, I know they traded away the guy to the Rams or quarterback, but took two DBs there. I mean, it's still a stacked team. I just thought that maybe one of those, they'd add something to support Patrick Mahomes.
I think they lost so many DBs they had to. And the other thing, they've been doing this to Mahomes since he became a star. So why not do it in another year and let him work some magic when they need help? Because that defense was not as good last year as it had been. And they've had to make moves based on finances, and which usually hits people at some point when you've been good for a sustained period of time. And I think that's what we've seen Andy Reid do. Defense will be better for Steve Spagnuolo, and it'll be like Patrick make a miracle.
Reuben Bain, 15 to the Bucks. Watching his reaction, John, on draft night Thursday, he could have played that night and ready to go. I thought that was a good pick for the Bucks, who probably weren't expecting Reuben Bain to drop to 15.
I don't think so either, and I think one of the things, you know, they talk about the short arms. Give me a bleeping break about an inch or two being that kind of difference. They'll move the guy around. I think the fact the car wreck, the fact that he had another speeding ticket in 2025 driving over 100, I think that is something that bothered him. And you never know what people find out. They have private investigators looking into players with baggage. You know, it's not like Atlanta that knew James Pierce had more bags than Mayflower, and they took him anyway. Now they're regretting it, I'm sure, based on what's happened to him. You talk about guys with chips on their shoulder. Usually that's who you want.
That is true. John, appreciate the time. As always, we will talk to you next week.
Guys, thank you very much as always, and I hope everybody has a great rest of the week.
You too. John McClain joining us here on the program as he does every Monday at 2 o'clock. We'll have more here in hour number 3. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Here on this Monday. Keep forgetting what day it is. I don't know why. I appreciate John McClain for joining us as he always does on Monday. Talking about the draft and reacting to it.
Yes. The Titans took a palindrome in the draft this weekend.
Oh, yeah. You're excited about
badass.
This.
I think it's great. So my daughter's a palindrome. If you tell people that don't know what it means, you're like, hey, my daughter's, and it's how you say it, like, hey, my daughter's a palindrome. And they're like, oh, God, I'm so sorry. And they have no idea what a palindrome. And they have no idea what a palindrome is.
How have you been able to cope with that all these years?
It's how you say it. But they took Jaron. Is it Canuck? Is that how you say this guy's name? It's not Canuck, is it?
I think it is Canuck.
I think it's Canuck.
It is Canuck. All right. So palindrome is a name spelled forward and backwards, right? So we know that. That's what you learn on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Because celebrity birthdays is so popular and so wonderful, we try to give you other little tidbits throughout the day. Because we're not wasting your time.
We're not
at all. So I like this guy, right? Converted linebacker to a tight end, and his production's like better than like 90% of the tight ends that were drafted. And he was at Oklahoma, a school that doesn't throw the ball a lot. So I just think, look, at that point, like, let's bring him in so we could do and then get it done. There's another thing out there about if you're a small forward in college, 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", go play tight end. And they were showing these guys now in college, ex-basketball players. I'm telling you, man, like Jimmy Graham was part of that, Tony Gonzalez. If you got guys in college, 6'5", go out and play football. You never know what could happen. Now, I always wanted to see LeBron go out because he ran his mouth. I like to see Blaine Bishop hit LeBron across the middle back in the day. It'd been great. LeBron would have never played football again. So, but they were talking about all these power forwards in basketball, small forwards, on that height range to go play pro football because they're making a nice little living right there.
615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You know, it's funny, you when you would tell people your daughter is a palindrome, they're like, oh, I'm sorry. That reminds me of my dad calls me one day. And this is like, you know, 10, 11 years ago. Well, longer than that. I think I was still in Murfreesboro. So like 15 years ago. And he's all like, hey, well, I found out I have CRS. And I'm like, what? Man, I'm like, what is that? Like, I'm freaking out. I'm like, what is this? And he's like, yeah, can't remember stuff.
Squat.
And I was just like, you jerk.
Oh, yes.
I mean, yesterday would have been Dad's 73rd birthday.
73, man. Yep, that crazy sounds. Time just flies by.
Yeah, so I had a steak and a Bud Light in his honor.
Good. You should have.
You know?
So well done.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
We continue to kind of look at the draft, and I'm excited to get these guys on the field now for the rookie mini camps and, you know, whatever the OTAs and all that. And I know you can't really start hitting until training camp, but it's just like now we get to actually talk about some football.
It's fun. I mean, and you got the camps coming up, and then, you know, they'll go through camp in May and June. They'll take a break. July will be here. Then we're back into the swing of things for football season. And, look, as we talked about, that's an important draft for the Titans last week with the new leadership. You feel like they're trending the right way, getting things done. A lot of, you know, consternation over Carnell Tate, who, by the way, would have been drafted in the first round anyway.
Yeah.
Titans took him right there. It's fine. But, you know, him and Ward worked with each other and get that job going to Wandale Robinson and figuring things out. But it just feels like this was so important because of what the team had been through the last three seasons, especially the last two seasons, which were an absolute disaster. Got the head coach you need in there and everything. So it feels like things are working that way, that guys want to win. And I know that should be in every training camp, but here – we've not had that feeling the last couple of years, but now you got things going, moving the right way. Now you got to put it together on the field and win games.
Pick one. Tell me why. I think I know the answer, but pick one. Tell me why. Titans draft pick you are the most excited about.
I think it is Anthony Hill.
That's who I thought you'd say.
You know, when we did the little draft simulator, he kept popping up.
Yep.
A linebacker at Texas that covers sideline to sideline and is not afraid to hit. I'm shocked he didn't go up in the first round. But as you read, linebackers typically do not go up in the first round.
Right.
That's fine. I think Anthony Hill is a game changer, and they need fast-moving linebackers who can cover tight ends, who can cover running backs out of the backfield. I think that's good. I think that's why that guy works.
I tend to agree with you, and I think that Robert Saleh went to Mike Borgonzi and said, look, you know, we don't have to do it in the first round, but find me my Fred Warner. I need to find a guy that can be my Fred Warner with this team. And I don't know if Anthony Hill can get to that level. I hope he can. But all the things that I've read about him tell me that the prospects look pretty good, that he's speedy, that, you know, you heard John McClain. John, you know, I asked about another player, and he's like, well, hang on, I want to talk about Anthony Hill.
Yeah, right.
You know, so I think that I can agree with you on that. I mean, look, I'm excited about Tate because they got a fourth pick receiver that wasn't even the best receiver on his team, which is not – that's not a slight at him. That's just Jeremiah Smith was that good. So, you know, is there more to this guy's game than maybe we have seen? And he's going to come in, get on the same page with the young quarterback. I think, you know, those two can develop a chemistry together like we saw with – D-Mace and Steve McNair and, you know, Tannehill and A.J. Brown. I mean, so, you know, I think that is exciting. But of all the picks, I mean, and I know I love this because we're going to argue about it until through training camp. I think Nick Singleton is going to be fun to watch. I really do.
I know he's
a fifth-round running back. But you look at, you know, him breaking records at Penn State. I mean, he shattered some of what Saquon Barkley did there. I'm not saying he's going to be Saquon, but, I mean, that's pretty damn good, you know, to see that.
I get it.
Look, you're taking a flyer on a guy that had second, third-round grades. So if he can add to your team and, you know, take somebody's job, then great.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like with Restrepo, we were like, he broke all the records at Miami. He needs an opportunity, and it's not going to be here. I mean, that's just what happens. And those guys, I mean, look, they prove out in college, and you had the opportunity. Maybe they bring him back. I mean, who knows? They got 37 receivers on that team right now, so who knows what could happen. But I just think they're trending the right way for once, and I think they're going to be physical, which is huge.
Do you feel better about the receiver room when I tell you it's Tate, Io Manor, DK, Robinson, Ridley, and then somebody else?
Absolutely. It sounds better. I mean, those guys have proven themselves. Ridley's the X factor. If you can come back and show something, show anything, would be a bonus for this football team. But I don't know how much to believe in that right now.
No, I don't either. But like as I said, you know, he's the sprinkles on top. He's the icing on the cake. I mean, you're not expecting him. Really, I think you have no expectations. You're like, okay, he's here.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's the things. I don't like half the time I don't even think of that he's on the football team.
I mean, if I tell you, like I said earlier, like, you know, people are like, all right, well, Tate needs like 1,200 yards. Let's be modest. He's a rookie. So let's say he gets just over 1,000. He breaks 1,000. And Robinson, what's the highest that Robinson's had in his career? He has had – just a second. How you doing?
How we doing, Dan?
So he had just over 1,000 last year with the Giants. So let's say for a second you get both Tate and Robinson over 1,000 yards. And then Ridley comes in with 600-700. I mean, you're throwing the ball more.
I get it. I don't get in all that. I mean, one game you could have 130, and the next eight games you disappear.
Right.
You got 17 games. Here's the thing. Ward and Robbie and Rex were talked about this morning. It was fantastic. Ward and Tate have to be dynamic out of the gate.
Agreed.
Have to be dynamic. I mean, it's got to be. When a team game plans are like, oh, God, we got to stop Ward to Tate. We got to stop that. That should be the first thing. Everything else complements that. But you got the number one overall pick last year, the number four pick this year, a la Burrow and Chase. I get all that. You got to put that together. And only time will tell for that to happen. But hopefully those guys, and I think Brian Daboll is the best offensive coordinator for them right now. There's some good things that are happening with this football team.
Yeah. I think they're – sorry, I was reading some of the text. On the text line, but it is time, and I know people are very excited about this. It is time for What Day Is It? And Celebrity Birthdays. We would never not do it because you love it so much. We will do that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, The Game on this Monday. Hope you're having a great day so far. DVD coming your way here in just a few minutes. Hey, by the way, check out our YouTube page, at 102.5, The Game. You could subscribe to that. We got exclusive content. All of our shows are there. Lots of cool stuff, and we're continuing to build it each and every day. And, you can check it out, including what's coming up now, which is What Day Is It? And Celebrity Birthdays.
Okay, first on the list, we have Babe Ruth Day, the great Bambino. I believe today is his birthday and or the day he passed away. One of those days, yep. International Crow and Raven Appreciation Day. International Design Day. Marine Mammal Rescue Day. Shout out to the dolphins. Let's see. Morse Code Day today.
Which one? Marino? Zonka? Jason Taylor, Zonka?
All of them. All of them, really. You know, National Gummy Bear Day is today. Not spelled the way I thought it would be. National Devil Dog Day. Not sure what that is. Interesting. This looks like a weird animal. World Tapir Day. Tapir? T-A-P-I-R?
Tapir?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a jackalope.
No, it isn't. It looks like an aardvark with, like, I don't know.
What'd you call me?
Jackalopes aren't real, buddy.
I know they're not. Okay. It's a drink. The place, the whatchamacallit.
Jackalope Brewery.
Let's see.
That's true.
National
Prime. Together at CromwellMedia.com.
National Prime Rib Day is today.
I love a good prime rib.
National Tell a Story Day. And, that's it. There we go.
Good job, buddy.
That was great.
All right, time for celebrity birthdays. You got to get these within 2 years. Chase, you go first today. How old is the Iceman, George Gervin? If you don't know who he is, you should.
George Gervin is 78.
77.
74. Dr. Crane, close. How old is Jason Whitlock today, the writer?
Jason Whitlock is 56.
53.
59. Apparently he lives here in town.
Yeah.
Chaser, how old is Chris Carpenter, former St. Louis Cardinals pitcher?
I'm going to say he is 45.
43.
51. Dr. Crane, how old is Austin Dillon?
Austin Dillon?
NASCAR.
I'm going to go 41.
Austin is 35.
36. Chase on the board. 1-0. Chaser, now you better get this, because if you don't, it's a crime. How old is Lizzo?
Lizzo is 28.
29.
39.
Really?
She's 39.
Wow.
Dr. Crane, how old is Kate Pearson of the B-52s?
67.
73.
78.
Jeez.
Isn't that crazy? Chaser, how old is singer Sheena Easton, who, by the way, here we go, Joe, played Sonny Crockett's wife on Miami Vice. Sheena Easton.
Is it me?
Yes, Chaser.
I will say 74.
72.
67. Dr. Crane, how old is drummer Patrick Hallahan of My Morning Jacket?
Patrick is 53.
48.
48 exactly. Up 3-0. Chaser, how old is bass player Rob Squires of Big Head Todd and the Monsters?
I don't know who that is.
Same.
47.
44.
61. Dr. Crane, how old is bass player Joseph Pope of Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats? I don't know any of these people.
70?
58.
47. Chaser, how old is guitar player John Osborne of the Brothers Osborne?
44.
48.
44, exactly. Chase up 5-0. Dr. Crane, how old is actor William Moseley from The Chronicles of Narnia, that movie where they go into the closet? Sorry.
What was his name again?
William Moseley.
William Moseley is 39.
42.
At the buzzer, Dr. Crane gets it on the board. 39 exactly. You lose 5-2. It's like watching the...
Wow, it's 5-2, really?
Watching, yeah, wow. Chase went 5-2. It's like watching the Party Animals play the Savannah Bananas last night on TV. And I watched...
Did you see Russell Wilson?
No. I must have turned it. I watched like 20 minutes. I'm like, why am I watching this?
He looks so fat and out of shape.
Does he?
Yeah.
He's worth about $150 million. I would be... And I'm fat and out of shape, and I'm worth $150.
So, call him a full-figured athlete.
Thank you, pal. Appreciate you. So that's it. Good job on Chase wins again.
Yeah.
It's like a weekly thing, daily thing, right?
Well, I try. What can I say? So good stuff. Tomorrow.
Good stuff. Good stuff. God, I hate the word good. I hate the phrase good stuff.
It's such a crutch.
It is, because, I mean, you're not paying attention. Ah, it's good stuff. I'm like, no, it's not.
I am paying attention, but I just didn't know what to say.
No, not in this.
Yeah,
part of it, but in most people, it's good stuff. No, it's not. You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. When do they start? I mean, do they start a rookie camp this week? Usually it's pretty quick.
I don't know. Parker Hughes goes next week, May 6th. By the way, thanks to Parker Hughes.
Yeah, that was cool.
Getting drafted on the Chase and Big Show Joe show today.
If you miss it, you can subscribe to our podcast.
He said it was a highlight of his entire life was coming on this show. I don't think he actually said that, but I hope he meant it and felt that
way. I doubt
that.
One thing I forgot to mention when we were talking about Carson Hocevar, that the if you haven't seen the video that was so badass, is he sat on the window and drove the car around the racetrack, a la Dale Earnhardt when he was.
How do you do that? Is he 7'8" and his leg can reach down?
You can lock it. You can lock it in gear where it basically keeps going.
Oh,
and
really?
Yeah, and the inertia of the car. But I mean, he basically put it in cruise control, essentially.
So kind of like a Waymo.
Yeah, and but the funniest thing was he was like trying to steer it, and then he tried to turn around and basically banged into the wall.
I saw that. Now, don't you have to take the car for inspection?
Yeah, it's fine. And the new CEO, Steve O'Donnell, was asked, like, well, is this going to be banned on Monday? And he goes, no, we like creativity, and that was creative, and as long as he's safe, we're fine with it.
Broadcast crew guys were like, this will be a meeting on Monday, no
and
more.
You know what? I bet you the NASCAR's instinct was, we got to ban this on Monday, and Steve O'Donnell did the right thing and said, no, nope, we're good with it.
Why would you ban it?
Because what if he falls off the car and gets run over?
That's on him.
Yeah, right.
That's not NASCAR's fault. I don't know. I just thought it was great. I watched the last, like I said, 30 laps, and I texted you during that. I'm like, this is kind of fun, man. Yep. That was a fun race yesterday.
I tweeted out right after the race. I said, I want to read exactly what I said. I said, NASCAR should embrace what they have in front of them with Carson Hocevar. The kid has talent. He's marketable and could be one of the stars of the future. He's got a rocket on his back. They need to just hold on and enjoy the ride. Congrats on the first
one. Pretty good. Pretty accurate.
You know, so hopefully they can do that. That is going to do it for us here today.
Hey, we always end our show to our message out there for the guys of mental health. I tell you, you're doing a fantastic job. I understand some days are rougher than others, but listen, you're here. Our world's a better place because you are here. Go to therapy, unitycares.com. Therapy changed my life. We need you here, and you're doing fantastic. Again, I tell you all the time, after all you've been through in your life, you are still here. That's how tough you are, how wonderful you are, and absolutely how beautiful you are. You're doing fantastic. Reach out to us anytime. We're here to talk anytime to help you out. Know that we love you. More importantly, more than anything else in this world, please know how much God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll DVD coming your way next on 102.5 The Game.